The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
You might have seen this story. 87 hospital consultants at University Hospital Limerick have written to management to say their ability to provide care to their patients is stretched beyond its current capacity. Professor Declan Lyons is a consultant physician and geriatrician, and he is one of the signatories of that letter. He joins me now. Declan, you're welcome to the show, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. Why did you put your name to this letter?
Well, I think it's pretty common knowledge, I think, at this stage that University Hospital Limerick and healthcare provision in general in the Midwest has been under inordinate pressure for a number of years. And I think there was a bit of a tipping point between Christmas and the new year when I think most of us involved in the clinical care of patients felt that the whole thing was just getting a little bit too precarious and perhaps even a bit accident prone. So I think that view, I think, is generally held amongst a whole range of consultants in the hospital. And we felt that the time had come really for our senior clinicians to voice their concern with a view to trying to correct some of these issues that have been around for a large number of years.
So to what extent, Declan, are these issues UHL specific, or are they Irish health system problems?
I think it's a good question. Some of them are Irish health service specific. A lot of them are Midwest specific. I suppose, just to give you an example, perhaps of each. The specific ones to us would be the problems associated with the reconfiguration of health services back in 2009. Now, I think this has been widely discussed in recent times, but what happened then effectively was that direct access to Ennis, Nina and St. John's hospitals, which are very important ancillary hospitals for UHL, was essentially curtailed on the basis that those hospitals would need critical care facilities in order to access them safely. Now, that had a profound effect in terms of driving inordinate amount of activity into UHL that previously wouldn't have gone there. Now, the reality is only 5% of patients in hospital need critical care access, and the challenge really is to get that 5% to land at UHL. And the rest of the 95% can land ideally in hospitals closest to home. So we think that was a mistake. And I suppose in life in general, you're not defined necessarily by your mistakes, but you're certainly defined, in my view, by how you react to them. So we need a reaction to this. We need that process corrected. We're not at all talking about reopening ED departments, because in many instances ED departments are inappropriate for a lot of these patients. But we are talking about opening up access by way of, say, clinical evaluation units into these facilities. So the way it is at the minute, quite frankly, is that it's literally akin to, say, going to the Gaelic grounds at Croke Park for, you know, Munster final or whatever, and the GAA is saying, listen, lads, we're only opening one gate today. Well, you know, if you can get through that gate, you might have a fine old time, but the process of getting in is problematic. And that, in essence, is what's happened to us.
Okay, that's a worthwhile metaphor. I think a lot of people will understand it. So you're talking about triage, effectively, but before people get to the emergency department. Is that it?
Yeah, exactly. Now, as it currently stands, about 50% of patients presenting to UHL do so without ever having seen their GP. That needs to be corrected. So what we're looking for is for GPs to triage, for patients to be seen by their GP before they're referred on to secondary care. Primary care followed by secondary care. And we think that GPs are the best people to triage. Now, all they've got to do at the end of the day is to get that 5% of really sick patients landed at UHL. I mean, even if you're a bad darts player, you'd be able to hit one half of the dartboard. So that's what's required here. And we have locally developed IT systems that will facilitate that process and ensure that the resources that we have are deployed appropriately. Because the conversation, as you well know, in recent years has been dominated by incessant demands for more beds. What we're emphasizing here is that process is probably more important than plant in this instance, particularly if you want to get a quick response.
Is the problem, Declan, though, that the times during which you and your colleagues are under most pressure and the system is under most pressure is also the time when primary care is under most pressure? And there's people listening to this and they'll say, I tried to do exactly what Declan is talking about, but I was on hold for 2 hours to my GP. The GP is listening, saying, yeah, of course you were on hold for 2 hours. I had patients coming out my ears. People turn up at the emergency department because they can't get to their GP.
I totally accept that. I mean, I think I'm not saying for 1 minute that we haven't got an overall capacity problem on this one, but we certainly have a process problem. And between Christmas and the New Year, a lot of people had difficulty accessing primary care. Quite frankly, the only show in town was the emergency department. So I think, you know, prior to the dissolution of the health boards, there was much tighter integration between primary care and secondary care. And that needs to be re-established. I think, you know, there are plans for that with the introduction of regional health authorities, and that will go a long way to tighter integration. I suppose our thesis is that if you sort out the processes, get as efficient as you can, and you still have a resource or a problem after that, it's more likely to be a genuine resource rather than a process problem. But the one of the real downsides to all of this is the deleterious effect, and it was mentioned in the letter, that it's having on staff morale and recruitment. We have a problem in UHL that we've never experienced before, which is that we're unable to recruit people into posts. We have inordinate amounts of sickness among staff. Mm. Even, for example, in my own department, we've got 32 physicians who shoulder a big part of the, you know, 80,000 cases that are seen in A&E every year. 32 physicians on the medical register, but only 17 of those are currently available to participate in the take for one reason or another, compared to, say, Galway, which has nearly 40 or over 40. So, you know, you don't need to be Einstein to realize that if you've got 17 individuals providing 24/7 to that amount of illness, you're not going to get the same results as you will if you have 50 or 60. And that's another unintended consequence of the bad press that we're kind of getting in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, okay, you've slightly answered the question, because I was going to ask about that and how geographically specific it was. I mean, this vacancy is right across the system everywhere you go, but is it particularly acute, that problem in the Midwest, because of the negative attention?
I think, I mean, so maybe the best gauge of that really comes from junior doctors, because unlike myself, you know, I'm from Limerick. I'm in Limerick for the last 26 years. The junior doctors travel around and they go from hospital to hospital, and they're a superb gauge of the kind of national mood and what's going on in different regions. And they will tell you that there's a particular issue in the Midwest, and they feel very strongly about it, to such an extent that they wrote a very, very good critique of what they saw as the problems within the hospital last year and the year before. And a lot of the consultants you know, supported their action at that time. And I personally think that a lot of what they said was very legitimate. And if it was gone through in a systematic way, it would go some way to helping us in the Midwest.
So, I mean, the changes that you and your colleagues encourage in this letter today to hospital management, are they the types of changes that the hospital group itself can implement, or does this need to come from on high?
Okay, I think that's very important. I think some of them can certainly be delivered locally, but I think the headline issues, like, you know, hospital reconfiguration, triage from primary care, how primary care out of hours works, these are national issues. The IT systems, for example, which have been in the headline news for the last few days, they really need a root and branch going through. I mean, 26 years ago, on week one, when I turned up, I spoke to the IT guys in the hospital. Some of them were excellent, and said, listen, we need a rudimentary system here so we can get discharge summaries out to referring GPs. And in 1997, I was told, well, hold on, because there's a national system coming in 2 years' time. Here we are, 26 years later, no sign of it. And the latest excuse that I've heard is that we have to wait now until the children's hospital is up and running, because that's going to be the flagship for IT deployment. So it's one excuse after another. And I think at this stage, we're fed up to the teeth, really, of the IT tail wagging the clinical dog in hospital medicine. So, and an over concern, a real over concern in relation to security. I mean, you'll have no security problems if you've no IT. So I think we need a balance here. And so that's a national issue that needs to be addressed. And then one other thing, just on the national thing, I mean, I feel quite strongly as well that, you know, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, which oversees fiscal policy in the country, is purported to have done a very good job. And again, at national level, a similar council, advisory council, an Irish Health Services Development or Research Council that oversees big healthcare projects and to ensure that they're properly future-proofed and that unintended consequences are gone through systematically. I think government should give serious consideration to that. I mean, it makes no sense to us in the Midwest as to why an elective hospital, for example, isn't even being considered for the Midwest when it's under such pressure. That type of council or advisory council ought to prevent that type of disparity from arising.
Professor Declan Lyons, consultant physician and geriatrician at University Hospital Limerick. Declan, thanks a million for taking the time to speak to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.